For the new millennium, essential source for health, consciousness, spirituality, and self-liberation. I'm Catherine Davis, your host, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And today we have a very exciting program for you. I'm eager to get started. And let me tell you, to begin with, I'm going to share some words with you, a discussion of beginning, re-beginning, renewal, and finding our center and stability within this conflict and confusion. You know, the times we're in are full of conflict and confusion. And the answer, from my perspective, is for us to engage in communing with the expanded self for consultation and guidance. But please do stay tuned. In our second segment, we'll be speaking with our guest, Linda McKenzie, the ethical psychic. And we will be discussing hex or hoax, avoiding scam artists, and offering tips for finding a genuine and ethical psychic. And I know that a lot of people do rely upon psychics to help them. It's a way of connecting to the expanded reality and beyond our own capacity to do so. So I encourage both, but I'm looking forward to this interview because I think that it's good to be discerning when we're looking to outside persons or sources for information about our lives and the context of the things that are going on around us. We can take in all that information, but be personally responsible in how we use it. Now let's get into this idea of beginning and re-beginning and renewal. I have found that for myself personally, I go through different stages, or you might think of it as a rhythm of connectivity and understanding all the things that are going on in my life. Because it's very easy to get disconnected from the source, for the interior self, the expanded self. And this is because we are impacted by what's going on around us. We're impacted by the politics, and we're impacted by the energies that are pervasive in our world right now. And since we are at this very special time of the, the beginning of summer, and having gone through the solstice of new beginnings and rebirth, that it's really a good time to think about that, because as we look at the seasons and we look at the various rhythm of the seasons, the equinoxes and the solstices, we can realize that in the natural world that there are different times for things to take place. In the summer, everything grows, and in the fall, we harvest. In the winter, we rest. In the spring, we renew ourselves. And if we can think of our own inner processes as following a similar rhythm or pattern, then we can begin to see that there really is a natural flow. And if we are attentive to what's happening inside of us in our lives, it can begin to give us clues on what actions we might take or what we might understand and learn from whatever it is that we're going through. And until I most recently got myself into a quandary is because I had been paying particular attention to what was going on in the world, in the media. And it caught my attention, as it catches everyone, because of this real potential for things going wrong. The idea of perhaps taunting Korea and bringing forth this aggressive behavior is a way of creating potential harm in the world, whatever the politics might be. It creates a concern. When we see an escalation of the so-called war on terror, and we see bombings and various events taking place, this also gives rise to great concern. And when we see problems happening in our own country, violence and conflict over race, over politics, it all lifts that level of concern and confusion. And for me, what put me into that state of confusion, that feeling, that emotion of confusion, was not so much because I felt personally at risk, but I began to wonder if this falling apart of the world is so pervasive that it will have an impact on the overall journey towards resolution and the overall journey towards reconciliation and ascension, moving into that higher state of reality that many of us strive to reach. And so what happens as a result of just paying attention to all of these broadcasts, though I do listen to snippets, I don't watch TV, I look it up on the computer, but it began to have an impact on my emotional state and causing my mind to worry about this and making it difficult for me to sink into that interior space where I hold a general sense of peace and well-being. So it just reminded me that it really is important to assess it, to assess where we are, and to begin to really recognize how the information that is flowing into our consciousness is having an impact on our emotions, our thoughts, and our vibration. And if what I discovered is that this extensive immersion into this current reality, this reality of conflict, was having an impact on my own well-being and my own capacity to be healthy, on a primarily on an emotional level, on a mental level. And so I recognized that it was an opportunity for me to enter into a stage of renewal. So like the seasons, perhaps the season of winter, when you pull back and go inside, is the energy that was required for me to detach from the goings-on of the world. And so it wasn't my intention to detach in terms of knowledge or awareness of what's happening in the world, but I wanted to disconnect my emotional body from the way in which the information is delivered with high intensity, with a sense of crisis, with abject criticism rather than objectivity, with a particular agenda rather than really exploring the underlying issues. As you might hear on this radio station, you would see an exploration of those underlying issues. But even in that, it can have that impact on your state of being. Why is this important? It's important because the state that you're holding in your emotional and mental body is the vibration that's going to have an impact on your physical body, the state of your health. It's going to have an impact on your psychology, the state of your mind. And it is also going to have an impact in that vibrational resonance field that you have emanating from your being. And it's that resonance field that will attract specific experiences and people into your life. So if we're walking around in a state of fear about what possibly could happen, then we end up attracting those situations that will reinforce that fear. And it ends up being a spiraling situation that ultimately put you in some kind of danger or ultimately break down the systems of your body because of the stress and the worry that you're engaging in. So that disconnecting by going inward is really a disconnection from that state of worry and fear. We can still hold the information and be aware without being afraid of it. And that's why it's necessary when we find ourselves in such a state that we recognize and take steps to heal that condition. And, of course, the best way to do that is by going inward, going into meditation. And we do this first by reducing for a time the connection, the contact with the information in terms of its energetic delivery. So when you watch an editorial on one of the mainstream media, it's going to be delivered in such a way that has an energetic signature that's designed to capture you, to capture your attention, that's designed to keep you coming back. Like if there's a sense of urgency that if you don't tune in, you won't know what's going on. If the only way to be safe is to know what's going on. And I suggest that the way to be safe is to disconnect from that energy and bring yourself to the interior of your body and begin to recognize the safety that you have and the support that you have from the internal self and the expanded self. And in the beginning, it might be challenging because when you're in that state of worry or fretfulness, making the transition can be difficult. So the first step is to cut off the offending material that's causing the agitation. So it's an energetic disconnect. And then we begin to practice through the tools that we know and understand, which are deep breathing, meditating, resting in nature, resting in silence, engaging in sustainable activities, joyful activities, taking a nice class to relax your body, maybe exercise or dance or getting together with friends and begin to talk in positive ways to encourage each other. Just really disconnect from that information and then continue to meditate, continue to breathe, continue to provide opportunities for a reconnection to that space where nature prevails and you can connect into the real energy of the world. And I say this because one of the ideas or realizations that can help us in this process is recognizing that we span two separate, certainly more than two, but at least two separate worlds in relation to what I'm speaking. And the natural world is in contradiction to the artificial world. The artificial world is the world in which we engage in news, in which we engage in politics, in which we engage in positioning ourselves into some place of benefit or abundance in the world, engaging in dialogue, conversation, going on interviews, creating, writing books, or doing things that are engaging in the outer world, in a way, is a step into the artificial domain, because we're dealing with concepts that have been delivered to us and programmed through systems of education, systems of religion, systems of politics, and promotion. So when we step out of that artificial world, we can step into the natural world, in which we can simply gaze at a treetop moving in harmony and rhythm to the wind that's blowing through the leaves, in which we can perhaps go outside and sit on a park bench and absorb the rays of the sun, allowing the sun to nourish our body, and breathing in, allowing the air to nourish our body, and just feeling the vibe of the natural world. When you sink into it, it has a real calming effect. At the cellular level, everything begins to relax, to take in that breath, take in that soft, gentle energy of the natural world. And you begin to remember that in essence, we are of the natural world. When we're born into this world, we're born as innocent babies, exploring our bodies, learning to nourish ourselves through our mother and our parents and our siblings, exploring our interests, exploring play. And so as children, we have this connection to the natural state of our being. And when we get too far down that hole, that sinkhole of the artificial world, then we can use this understanding of stepping back, putting both feet into the natural world, putting your feet on the actual earth, allowing your awareness to sink into the earth itself, to feel the vibrations of the trees and the bushes and the flowers, and to take in the scents of the vegetation. And in this way, it just puts the body, puts our emotions and our mind, our mentality, pulls it back into balance and allows us to recenter ourselves and forge a renewal to be able to bring our focus back into that which is beneficial for our overall well-being and for the true calling that we come into the world with. If we spend all of our energy on the outer conflict, it takes away energy from that which would nourish and sustain your life force. And once we can reach that sense of centering, and allow the natural world to allow our breath and our inner focus to return to that stability, to that sense of exhale, of relaxing, then we can re-engage the commune, the communing, the conversation, and the consultation and guidance that we can receive from the source of our being, the Most High, also from the soul, that part of the Most High that is your individual self on the divine level. And when you're in that connected space, then you have, in many ways, a veil of protection. Because your soul, the guidance will come through to protect you, to move you in ways that will help you to avoid conflict, direct conflict, but will also encourage you to engage through your conversations, through your interactions, in such a way that is also going to be supportive and sustaining, and to be able to lift your core vibration so that in your expression in the world, rather than be fearful of the stranger passing you on the street, you can have a sense of love and understanding that this is another child of the divine. I may never see or speak to you, but that's who it is. That's who we are as we pass each other. And that begins to create an even higher vibration around you, so that those that you start to engage with and are called to engage with will be lifted by that higher vibration. And so the quality of that expression and that experience contributes to the upliftment of all involved. And what happens is that you begin to, with this centering and this stability, you begin to renew and start a new beginning and return your focus to that work or that calling, or that joy that's in your life, so that you can make space and begin to be attentive. Well, instead of turning on the internet in the morning, let me sit for 5 minutes and breathe. Let me meditate. Let me connect with myself before engaging in the world. Before sending out an email or having an appointment or a meeting with someone, do that. Connect in. Breathe into your guidance and allow that inspiration to come through in your communication, even if it's an email or whether it's a meeting or whether it's a gathering. Allow your highest expression to come through in that engagement. And when we do look back into the media, into the world, we can decide what we want to do about it, how we want to engage, how we want to interface with that information, so that when we see a bomb being dropped on a community, we might be inspired to send prayers of protection or energy of renewal. We might be inspired to send to do meditation and to call for a higher consciousness into the mentality of our politicians. We can begin to engage with people of like mind to become active in the world, to write letters, to engage politicians, to lobby politicians, to begin to go to when our senators and congresspeople come into your community for a town hall, we could go to that. We can bring that lifted energy into that environment. We can begin to challenge people to find a better way to engage in the world. We can engage in conversation with our adversaries with respect, understanding that everyone has their perspective. And seek to actually communicate rather than prove someone else wrong and prove ourselves right, but really be open to seeking an understanding of how we can move back and forth in a communication, into how we can find common goals. Even if a person disagrees with us with regard to a certain issue, we can find other common issues to agree upon and to be active upon. Perhaps you might find someone who's a supporter on the right and a supporter on the left, but both engaged in caring about the planet. And so you can come together on that. Or perhaps you can find both engaged in the needs with regard to healthcare, and you can come together on that and allow your engagement with political discourse to be a positive one, to be something that will be transformative. And the more we come together to do that, then the greater our impact on actually changing the situation that's going on in the world. Because when we allow ourselves to sink into fear and worry and anger and hatred, it means that that is actually the energy that we're contributing to the collective whole. It means that we are contributing energetically to the mindset that would continue to harm the earth and harm each other in various ways. So it's a complex way of keeping ourselves in that state of renewal and beginning and creativity, so that we can find new ways again and again to express ourselves and to be an impactful force on the planet and within the human experience. So it's something that I find is absolutely necessary for me to do. We're all in this together. We're all in this with the same conditions impacting us. It doesn't help to claim to be awake or ascended or completely on the other side or finished with the work. Because as long as we're alive, we're going to be subject to the environment, to the milieu that's around us. And as long as we're alive, we are engaged in the perfecting of our own sense of self, our own sensibilities, our own craft, and our spiritual evolution. It's an ongoing process for everyone, whether you're looking at the Dalai Lama or whether you're looking at somebody in a prison who's committed a crime. Everybody is in the same boat and subject to the same conditions. No one is immune. And so, with that being the case, we can each define for ourselves how we're going to move through this world in a way that is going to uplift us rather than pull us down. We want to engage in a way that's going to spread wealth, abundance. And when I say that, I mean wealth of experience, abundance of resources, abundance of joy, abundance of communication, abundance of love, abundance of healing. And in order to pursue this renewal, we, at our foundation, have to create for ourselves that commitment, because there's always going to be a time of getting lost or feeling bad and down in the dumps or getting angry and frustrated. It's completely natural. But how we respond to those times is how we take responsibility for ourselves and engage in such a way that allows us to move forward and grow and change the reality in which we live. So as a reminder, coming up in our next segment, we're going to be speaking with Linda McKenzie, an award-winning author, radio host, and psychic. And we're going to be talking about some interesting topics, hex or hoax, avoiding scam artists, and tips for finding a genuine and ethical psychic. For those of you who'd like to connect more deeply with myself, you can join me at a ongoing meditation and movement class for body wellness and stress reduction at Studio Maya in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street. For more information, send an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com or leave a phone message at 347-480-1694. We're going to hear a bit of music as we transition, and this is a lovely song called Air and Angels by Lotus. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a moment with Linda McKenzie. Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis. And my guest this segment is Linda McKenzie, the ethical psychic. We're going to be talking about what it means to connect with a psychic. Because is it real? Is it a hex or a hoax? Is there some way we can avoid scam artists, and are there tips for finding a genuine and ethical psychic? And Linda McKenzie is an award-winning author, radio host, renowned God-based psychic, and president of Creative Health and Spirit, a publishing and media company which owns HealthyLife.net radio network. This former data engineer and entrepreneur has appeared worldwide on hundreds of radio shows, almost all network and cable TV stations, including the Discovery Channel, History Channel, ABC, BBC, and NBC, and in several award-winning documentaries. She is committed to the evolution of positive human consciousness and how to expand your psychic ability. So we'll talk about this and more. First, I want to say hello and welcome, Linda McKenzie.
Well, good morning. I'm so happy to be here with you. I love sharing information with people so much.
Oh, and I'm so happy to have you, because I really think that this is important, because I do have friends and acquaintances, and myself as well, who really enjoys looking into channeled material, psychic material, divined material, and are always looking for greater insights into ourselves and what's going on in our lives. But I have often wondered, you know, is it real? How do I know that this person is connecting into a higher source? How do we really discern these things? And so I'm really grateful that you're able to help us with this.
Oh, I'm glad to help too. Well, basically, I'm originally from New York, and I've been psychic since I'm 8 years old, and I'm just turned 68 last week, so I've been using it a long time. But I studied it for 37 years, and as a matter of fact, by the time I was 15, I had read every metaphysical piece of work in the New York Public Library. So being a psychic everybody has psychic ability. Everybody. So we are, you know, the only difference between you and me or anyone else is that I've studied it, and I've learned to use it. Now, just like anything else, there are people that are psychic don't necessarily have the qualifications to give and do readings, okay? Because it's a long, arduous process, and there's a lot of responsibility in that, you know, and you take some time to develop not only understanding your abilities, but the moral, the ethical values, the responsibilities of a psychic. It's great. I mean, you know, if I tell someone something incorrect, and then they tell somebody else, and it becomes this domino effect. Well, guess what? When I get upstairs, God says, uh-huh, Linda, what are you doing? And so I get the karma for that. So you have to be very, very careful on what you're doing, how you're doing it, and where you're doing it. Now, many years ago, they used to have these things saying, oh, there's a scam on this, the gypsy was taking my money, or this or that. And I hadn't really thought about that for a long time because, you know, basically I thought people would recognize this because the information has been out. And yet, about 3 weeks ago, my girlfriend's daughter, who knows me, by the way, went out and started going to this psychic, and the psychic started asking her for more money and more money and more money, and she got a little nervous, and then she decided to call me, and I said, okay, fine. So, but here's the deal. When we are talking to anybody, we are all connected energetically, every one of us. So every one of us is important to the scheme of life. Everyone has a purpose, and we're all interconnected. So if somebody is trying to extort money from you or is doing bad vibes, there is an action that has to be cut. So you need to be going to a good psychic that's not going to be trying to extort money. So here are some of the things that a true psychic will not do, okay? They won't use magic. They won't do spells. They won't make you buy anything that will improve your life. Not one thing. If somebody's trying to sell you a candle, don't do it, okay? They won't make a prediction about death or do anything for revenge, okay? That's another thing they got to do. They won't promise that they're going to solve your problems. Okay, this person's after you. I'll solve it for you. They won't do that. They won't, tell you they're going to find you a person to love. You know, because we're all in this together, and we have free wills, right? So we want to make sure that, you are responsible for your own ship. You know, God's there to guide you and be there to catch you, but you know, He wants to see what you're doing. It's like a big TV show up there in heaven. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's a whole bunch of things that, that you have to be careful of. For example, you don't have to see someone in person for them to give you an accurate reading. As a matter of fact, I like not to see people because what happens is when you are looking at a person, you're subconsciously picking up body language, you're picking up the way they dress, the way they talk, and so you're already making assumptions. But if I don't see you, I'm actually doing energy interpretation, because that's all psychic ability is we're interpreting energy. And I found that there's 11 energy zones that a psychic goes through to make accurate predictions.
Could you give us an idea of what those energy zones are?
Well, some of them are when you're your own self, okay? For example, your mind, your body, your spirit. Everybody knows that one, but they don't understand that if you're getting a hit, right, it could be that, that you've eaten something that's made your stomach upset, okay? Did you eat some of that GMO food you shouldn't be eating, right? So that could be having an effect on your body that's affecting your mind. Your mind might be preoccupied with a problem and be interpreting things that are different. That's all energy, right? There's environmental factors, the stress factors of even breathing in carbon monoxide walking down the street. So you have to be aware of all of these. And then there's earth energies, right? There's inanimate energies, and there's physical energies. For example, if the earth starts shaking here in California, I know that's probably an earthquake, right? So that's a physical energy that, you know, for me, I can get a premonition to kind of, I understand when the earthquakes are coming, you know, but that is interpreting energy. But then there's inanimate energies, you know, where, for example, in Sedona, you can't see these things, but there's vortexes, and these vortexes are like these kind of ley lines that are underneath the earth. There's actually, they found a water channels underneath the earth where all the water is connected. But the ley lines, when they cross, become power spots. Well, we don't see this, but if you go to Sedona and you go to certain vortex spots, you know, it's filled with electromagnetic energy and works just like those magnets. You know, they can help pull out illness or help you heal or do things like that. So we have to figure out, and then there's universal energy, and then all the way up to God energy or spirit or whatever you want to call God is fine with me, because for me, I believe that everything, you know, everything exists and there is one source, and it, whatever you want to call that, but it's just that I grew up Catholic and I saw God when I was 8, and that's when I got all 17 distinct different psychic abilities. And it took me 37 years to practice them before I even came out as a psychic.
Well, that's good. I mean, I understand that very well, that, you know, you have to be careful what you're connecting to, the energies that you're getting your intuition or your insights from. But I've also noticed that there are some so-called psychics or channelers who feel, maybe even truly believe, that they're giving you right information, but somehow it doesn't feel right, and it seems like they're connecting to either their own psychology or something else. And so I'm wondering if you could advise people a little bit on how to have that perception of what's going on with the person they're engaging with, and, you know, how to avoid it, how to stay out of trouble.
Right, and that's a very good point to bring up, because everybody's their own best psychic, okay? And just because you're in something or doing something, if something doesn't feel right, your own intuitive abilities, which is the building block for psychic ability, and everybody has this, your gut feel, don't think, but your gut feel, if this doesn't feel right, then trust yourself, because you're going to be right about 99.95% of the time if you don't think about it. So if someone is telling you that something and it doesn't feel right, you must believe yourself, believe your own psychic antennas, which are comprised of, you know, I was an engineer for 18 years, so, you know, I try and put my feet on the ground and my head in the clouds so that when somebody is coming in, you're really balanced and you really see the truth, because that's what I'm all about. So everybody has the truth meter in them, right? I mean, you know when you're telling a lie, whether you want to or not. You know when you don't want to believe something and that somebody's telling you, and you're trying to overcome that. Well, it will nag you. Truth will nag you until you accept it, right? So your gut feel, will tell you this is right, this is not right, and if it's not right, say thank you so much, get up and walk out. Same thing if you're reading a metaphysical book. There might be something, if you're drawn to the book, there's probably something in there that source wants you to see. So you can read it, but you don't have to believe every word of it. Trust your own intuition, your own gut feel. That's the one that's going to be right. And do your homework before you see them. Find out from other people. Look on the web. You know, see if there's any write-ups on them. You can go to the Better Business Bureau. A lot of times people will write up reviews on psychics and stuff that haven't been doing right. But most of all, trust your own gut feel. You're going to be right.
That's important. And I would also like to take this just a bit further, if you can, for people who may have already gotten themselves into trouble and are now struggling with the negative impact. I had was in contact with someone who went to a group that said that they were going to help her, they were going to use charms or something and help her find a mate. And then she ended up having an entity engage in her field and doesn't know what to do about it. So, I mean, I think that there can be real negative impacts, and I was wondering if you have any insight on how people can recover from a negative impact.
Well, there's a whole bunch of things to do, but the thing is that sometimes these entities... and I could get into that for a long time, but the entities themselves could be very, very difficult to get out if you can't. For example, if a ghost shows up and you don't want to see a ghost, you can tell them go away. 95% of the times, they're going to go away. They're not going to. They can't stay. You know, you just tell them. But with some of the entities that come in with this, they almost like hook you. You know, you've ever seen those. Cartoon characters where they're smelling the pie and you see the aroma getting to them, you know, and it's drawing them to it. So you absolutely sometimes need a professional. Now, there's a lot of people that are do shamanic practices, which is like a soul retrieval is part of that. And but again, you need to always ask and find out if, you know, if this is correct and proper, if these people are true. Some of the things they can do is prayer is always good. Here's a good thing that you can do if you're in the midst of something. If you hum or you laugh, it breaks negative entity spells when they're being cast. Okay? Because the humming puts you up into your heart chakra, not down to the root, because these people and these things are always trying to get your root stuff, which is kind of I want, I need, I gotta have stuff, right? So you want to make sure that you're not coming from that place, which is where they aim, okay? I want a boy, I want to get well, I want a boyfriend, I want, you know, this is all want, need, you know, that kind of stuff from root. But if you come from your heart, which is love, that's the strongest weapon of anything. There's nothing stronger than pure love. And so you can pray, there's different kinds of crystals to use, there's different kinds of prayers and chants and all sorts of things. But if worse comes to worse and it's not working, then you need to seek some professional help, just like you would go to a doctor. You went to the doctor, now you got to go to the specialist, the surgeon, to remove that stuff. And again, it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. Okay, you know, it doesn't, you know, they won't need to use any tools or paraphernalia. You don't need tarot cards to do readings. You don't need any of that, okay? And they won't pressure you.
Okay, well, that's good. And I bring this up because I know that a lot of people have these fears. And I think that your advice at the top of this interview is the best advice to have, in that you know, you're connecting to your own discernment and intuition, and you're not really seeking for anybody to fix or give you anything. You're looking for greater insight through these natural abilities. And I think that's really the best advice, is for us to cultivate our own natural abilities to have intuition and to begin to explore what is psychic for each of us individually. And this is kind of why I'm excited about this workshop that you're going to be leading at the Omega Institute. It's in Rhinebeck, New York, July 9th and 14th. And
July
we're going to be
it's a four-day workshop. It's July 9th through the 14th.
9th to the 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to actually teach people how to expand their own abilities. Can you tell us something about your upcoming workshop?
Yes, you know, I do everything. God says jump, and I say how high. and then he laughs, because he's got a sense of humor. He, she, it, whatever. Okay, so basically, this workshop has never been done anywhere. And since I have all the 17 abilities, we're going to be taking this wonderful workshop, and we're going to be exploring each and every one of the 11 energy zones, and we are going to be exploring each and every one of the 17 psychic abilities. And it's not, but we're coming from a place not about me, okay, because we are in a position in the earth right now that we must band together in love and kindness. So it has to be about the we and not about the me. So this workshop not only gives you all this information, which is, you know, 60 years of study for me, okay, it gives you all this information, but it's to help transform you into a loving, vibrant, positive being, so that you then can help transform the planet, so that we're all experiencing that. So this is the next step. It's how to be an ethical psychic to help transform yourself and the planet. And it's going to be so much fun. I mean, we're going to be doing nature walks and automatic writing, hero scripting, which is automatic painting. We're going to be, I'm going to be telling ghost stories. You know, I've been in so many documentaries and all sorts of stuff. And we're going to be learning about ghosts from the ghost perspective. And hopefully one of the ghosts will come in and we'll be able to talk to them. So it's going to be so much fun. And the only thing that you need to understand about everything is, you know, there was an old saying, the only thing to fear about is fear itself, and that's really true. And it's you have to overcome fear and understand that fear is your friend, because fear is trying to teach you something so that you can reach your next step. And once you learn something, so instead of looking at fear saying, oh, my God, you know, you have to go, oh, what are you trying to teach me? Because once you do that, if you have no fear, no one can control you, right? You know, most people, when they have fear, it's either fear of loss or fear of death. And since there is life on the other side, I've been there, okay? So since there is life, we don't have to fear death. It's just another passing over to another transition, actually, to where we just absolutely came from. So it'll be like going home. So if you don't fear death and you don't fear loss, because remember, we're in the right place at the right time in every moment of every day. It may not feel that way, but if you take a look and make small changes and learn and grow, you'll always get what you need, maybe not what you want, but you're always provided for in every moment.
Beautiful. This is so true. I'm enjoying this conversation. We'll have to do it again sometime soon. But for now, I would really like to remind people that they can go to the omega.org website, and I believe it's eomega.org, eomega.org, and you can search for the workshop Expand Your Psychic Ability. Or you can go to visit Linda's website. Do you want to give out your contact information?
Sure. It's lindamckenzie.net, and that's M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E, lindamckenzie.net. And if you go there, there's a link that explains exactly what I'm going to do in the workshop day by day. And I do psychic predictions every month, and, of course, it has information about all the different events and when I'm on radio and all sorts of stuff, which, by the way, I, you know, a true psychic isn't really there about the money, okay? For example, you know, sometimes they take the money so that it's a fair exchange, so it's a karmic balance, but it doesn't need to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to do a psychic. And just let me say this. You can, one psychic reading should last you at least 6 months to a year. You don't have to be going back if it's a good psychic.
Mm. Excellent, excellent. And for those who want to explore, you also have the radio. You have a radio network, healthylife.net, and people
right.
can check
and
that
and
out.
We have so many people on there. We have 40 different hosts. And we do only all natural medicine on there. And we have like Dr. Bernie Siegel on and Lynn Andrews, who is a shaman and wonderful. Mm-hmm. She wrote all those wonderful New York best-selling books. We have Guy Finley. And we've had we have wonderful lifestyle type programming to help you, including news. And we reach about 1.5 million listeners a month. So that's why I'm so excited about this workshop, because it's getting me back with the people, which is what I wanted to do. And God had me saying, hey, you were a datacom engineer working for the airlines for 18 years, designing data networks, and then you were on radio for 9, and I want you to start this network with me so you can become a lighthouse and grab all these people and shine the light of truth around there. So I said, okay. So that's what I did.
That sounds wonderful. And also, I just wanted to remind folks that you can go to our website here at prn.fm on the internet, and if you search the Heart of Mind Radio Archive page, you'll find this information and links to connect you to Linda McKenzie and to a link to the Omega website, so you'll be able to make that connection by going to prn.fm. and the Heart of Mind Radio webpage. You can also download the program and maybe send it off to your friends so that you can consider discussing it and getting involved in a variety of ways. So I encourage you to do that. You can check out my announcements there as well. And we are just about out of time for today's segment. I want to thank you very much, Linda McKenzie, for joining me today. You are an award-winning author, radio host, renowned God-based psychic, and president of Creative Health and Spirit. So thank you very much. If you have a final word, you have about half a minute.
Right. Well, I just want to say thank you, Kathy. You do such wonderful work, and I just want to give many blessings to everyone out there, as well as to you. I want to give a lot of positive vibes and energy and happiness, and I wish you that with all my heart.
Thank you very much, and I wish you the same, for sure. And I want to thank all of you who have tuned in and joined us today, and invite you to stay tuned to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, for more great programming. Take care for now. And I'll see you again next Saturday.